I am very excited to see what the Lord has for us over the next couple weeks here in this series. I'm very excited about it because I do know this. I feel that the Lord has shown me that there's going to be great transformations take place over the next several weeks. Glory. I'm excited about that. That's right, glory, amen. The glory man says glory, I like it. But I'm very excited. I'm not talking about only transformations from people who don't know Jesus, which, hallelujah, they're coming. 2015 is the year of salvation. Ain't that right, Clay? The year of salvations. 2015, salvation, salvation, salvations. This word came in many different forms from many different people. We receive it. But not only that, but transformation in our own lives. And each and every single, listen, I need transformed every single day. I need Jesus to move on my heart and in my life every single day. I need him to draw me closer and closer to him. Let me tell you something. If we're not moving towards Jesus, we're falling away because Jesus is always moving. The Spirit of God continues to move. It never stands stagnant. It never stands still. And the Lord has shown me this, and I'm excited about that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to continue talking. We're going to continue in this series, Scars to Monuments. Talking about how God loves to take those very things that the enemy means for harm and use it for his glory. Let me say that again. For his glory and then for our good. How many know this? That we're only here existing on this earth to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's your first and foremost call on your life. If you say, I'm not sure what my call is, well, I'm going to tell you what your call is. It's to glorify Jesus with every action, with every word, with every thought, with every deed you do. It's to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the point of life. No matter what else you've learned in life, you learned wrong if you've learned anything else. It's all about Jesus. That's what this life's about. That's what it's about. If we're not bringing glory and honor to his name, everything else is in vanity. Everything else is worthless. Everything else is useless. But if we bring glory to his name, then all those things are blessings in our lives and blessings to others. Amen. But that's what we're going to continue talking about, how the Lord loves to take those things, though, that the enemy meant to destroy us, to hurt us, to harm us. He loves to take those things that were meant to cause permanent scars in our lives to build monuments to him. I love that. I love that. Like I just got done saying, it's all about Jesus. That only happens when Jesus is in our lives. Only Jesus can do Jesus stuff. That's very profound. Very simple, but very profound. That only Jesus can do Jesus stuff. Only Jesus can truly set you free. He's the only one. Only Jesus can take the broken heart that you have and mend it together. Amen. The rest of it's temporary, momentary fixes. That's why I tell men in AA and NA, they can't offer you what they don't have. They can't offer you true freedom. They can't. They don't have it. I'm not saying that those things aren't good, but apart from Christ, we can do absolutely nothing. Only Jesus can do Jesus stuff. Only Jesus can take your scars and turn them things into monuments. Let me tell you something. When Jesus does it, he does nothing halfway. He does it unbelievably, remarkably, above all that you could ever think, ask, or imagine. Let me tell you something. At one time in my life, I just wanted to get off of drugs, man. That was all I wanted. Just to quit getting high. That was it. But look what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. He takes scars and builds monuments out of them scars to glorify his name. Give the Lord a better clap offering than that. Amen. But scars to monuments. But there's this word that the Lord had given us last week that draws all this together. And that word is covenant. 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 We don't like to be people of covenant any longer. We don't like to be people who have to own up to the words that we give. It's the society that we live in. It's the society that we live in. They say something to you, well, things change when they don't fulfill what they said. Well, things happen. You know, life happens. Things happen. So I couldn't do what I told you I was going to do. Covenant. See, let me tell you something. Without covenant, there is no change. Covenant provokes change. Covenant with God will cause us to change. Jeremiah says, the Lord causes me to walk upright and in his statutes. I don't cause myself to do it. You can't white knuckle this thing and say, I'm going to get this done. Can't do that. It comes with a covenant between you and the Father. It's about covenant, about making a vow to God, saying, God, I give you my life. Lord, I give you my heart. We make a vow with God. It's only by covenant that these scars are going to be built into monuments. There is none of that without covenant. We have to have covenant. Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm spitting everywhere. Praise the Lord. 4-7. Say it. Don't spray it. Can you put them up there for me? Here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 says, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay whatever you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. So in other words, don't let your mouth write checks that your butt ain't willing to cash. That was pretty theological there. Listen, don't say things you don't mean. Don't say things that you're not willing to do. Just don't say it. In other words, he's saying keep your mouth shut. If you're not going to be a person who is about what they say, then don't say anything at all. Because that's wiser to do that than it is to make a vow and then just not keep it. He says, I'd rather you just not say anything. Don't make a vow to me at all. This is how important a vow is. Solomon takes it a step further, though. Not only does he say, don't open your mouth if you're not willing to repay what you say, he says, don't delay in repaying it. This is really good. He says, don't delay in repaying a vow that you've already committed to. Don't delay in it. Don't delay. And this is a debt that we pay every single day, that when we give our lives to Jesus, it's every single day that we're paying this debt. Let me tell you something, church. You've been bought and paid for by the price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are to repay that debt with our lives every single morning that we wake up. Every single day that we wake up, we repay this debt. We don't delay in our repayment. And when I think about this, I think about Luke chapter 9, verse 59-62. Let's read this real quick. Jesus is talking to a man. He says to another, he said, follow me, Jesus says. But he says to Jesus, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Pretty rough. Jesus is dealing directly with the delay. He's not dealing or rebuking the request. He's rebuking the fact that these people are delaying on repaying the vow that they committed to. Lord, I will follow you, but first let me. Lord, I will follow you. Jesus, I'm coming to follow you, but let me get older first. How many use that? I know I did. Thank God the Lord let me get old first, I guess. How many of us done that? Lord, I want to follow you, but first I want to date this boy or this girl. Lord, I will. I'm going to follow you. I'm serious. I will. I will follow you. However, I've got to do this first. Jesus is directly dealing with the point of not delaying on when we say, God, I will follow you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Not a but first. And this is a very serious subject. Not delaying on covenant that we make with God. Making sure that we own up to what we say. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6 says, let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? Don't let your mouth lead you into sin. Don't say you're going to do something and then not do it. Causing this hurt to come onto your own life. So many times we want to point the finger at God when it's our fault. We did it. It's my fault that it happened. Because God's only good. God's only good. Don't get that twisted. God's only good. But see, when we are the ones that break covenant, when we are the ones that get out of the protection, we open ourselves up for all the enemy's attacks, all of these things. He says, don't let your mouth lead you into sin. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hand? For when dreams increase and the words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one that you must fear. How many know somebody that has words, a lot of words? I know I do, okay? How many have that cousin or that family member that's always calling up asking for money? I have that. Always calling asking for money. Man, let me borrow this. Let me borrow that. Come on. Listen, Keith. I got you, cuz. That's what he said. I got you, cuz. I'm like, praise the Lord. You already owe me money. You didn't pay the last debt. Well, I just need $200, man. Just $200. It's always $200, too. I'm like, man, you ought to at least come for 50, not 200. That's kind of a big number. But let me get $200. You owe me from the last time, then his words will grow many. He'll start telling me the scheme on how he's going to get back not only that $200 to pay me, but the money he owed me before. Man, listen, this is what I'm going to do. He actually digging himself a deeper hole every time he opens his mouth. But the words that grow many, he says, is vanity. That we say to God, God, get me out of this, and I will serve you. Jesus, I'm not kidding you, I've done this so many times. Lord, if you just get me out of this mess, I will live for you. The Lord gets me out, and I'm sitting in the same place again 4 months later. Lord, get me out of this mess, and I will. This is vanity. Thinking that we can coax God into doing something, that we can barter with him. Let's not be those people. When we say something, let that just be what it is, right? Matthew 5, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from a deceitful heart, comes from a heart that is wicked, comes from a heart that's already planning evil. That's what it says. For us to be men and women of our word, that when we make a vow to God, when we make a covenant to him, we keep it. And then when we make it to each other, we keep that too. Now today, what we're going to look at is Gideon, the story of Gideon. And I love this story. It has all the intangibles that we're looking for here, right? It has a people who are in covenant with God and God honors them. And then we see a people who break covenant with God, and because of them breaking covenant, we see that they're out from under God's protection, right? Let me tell you something. Without covenant, there is no protection. It's that simple. Without covenant, there's no protection, church. Okay? And we see that here. We see that they tear down the old so that the new can be built up. They see that the scars are turned to monuments in this story. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6 through 8. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this story, But go home and read it. I ain't got time to go through the whole thing. But I'm actually going to start in chapter 4, okay, because it kind of leads us in to where we're headed. But in chapter 4, it starts out talking about how the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, they had broken covenant with God. That's what happened here. Right, so they break covenant with God. And because of their broken covenant, and they're out from under God's protection, they find themselves in this place of despair for 20 years. King Jabin of Canaan has overtaken them, right? And he's treating them really bad for 20 solid years. But then you see the grace of God. As soon as they recommit to God, as soon as they say, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I want to recommit my life to get back into covenant with you. We see the grace of God then overtake their lives once again. Come and protect them once again. So they cry out and they say, God, deliver us from the hand of the Canaanites. Of course, God shows up, delivers them out of their hands. Then we see chapter 5, that they're worshiping God. How many of us do that, right? God gets us out of something, man, we're worshiping God. 2 days later, we forget about it. This is exactly what they do over and over and over again. They're sitting there just worshiping God. They got back in covenant with God. So chapter 5 shows them worshiping him. It says that God gave them 40 years of rest. I'd love 40 years of rest. Hallelujah. But they gave him 40 years of rest. But then we see in chapter 6, they break covenant once again. They break covenant. They do what is evil in the Lord's sight. And because of their bad choices, you see them in all this hurt, this terrible anguish that they're living in. And it lasted for 7 years. The Midianites have oppressed them so severely that it's awful. Judges chapter 6, verse 2 through 4 says this, and the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains, in the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza. And left no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep, no ox, or donkey. This is how bad life had gotten for them. They had nothing to show for any of their hard work. They were being oppressed so badly. I don't know how many have ever been in this type of situation. I know I have. Where I'm out of covenant with God and I'm out from underneath God's protection and I can feel the walls closing in all around me. At every single turn, man, the enemy's hit me with something else. There's something else around the bend. Constantly, it makes you to get to the point where you don't even want to get out of bed. You just want to stay in bed because you're like, man, I don't want to get up. Another day of this, I don't know if I can take it. And a lot of times when we get to this place in our lives and we're feeling this coming against us, man, the first place we need to check is our covenant relationship with God. To make sure that we're not in broken covenant with him, either knowingly or unknowingly. There's times, man, we'll break covenant and not even realize it. Because the enemy will blind us from it to cause broken covenant. It happens. So we need to make sure before we do anything else, check our covenant with him. Check our covenant. Like I said, listen, there's no protection without covenant. Started to think about that with my wife, right, with Julie. She's in covenant with relationship with me. God bless her. She's anointed. But, listen, you'd have to be anointed to take on that. I'm going to tell you that right now. But she's in covenant with me. That's my wife. She has a certain protection from me that no one else will ever get. I will protect her to the ends of my life because she's in covenant with me. So there's a certain amount of protection that you give your wife that no one else receives, not even your children, nobody else. Let your kids come against your wife and see what happens, or vice versa. It doesn't happen. Why? Because there's a certain amount of loyalty, of something inside of us that connects one another when we're in covenant. It's the same way with the Father. When we're in covenant with him, it causes him to protect us. Because we're linked close together. That's what it says in Psalms 145, verse 20 says, the Lord protects all of those who love him. There's a contingency there. The Lord protects those who love him, not those who are born in America, on contrary to our beliefs. Those who love him, Jesus says this in John, he says, I know who loves me by those who obey my commandments. Those who are in covenant with me are those who love me. Those who live for me are those who love me. And those people I protect. I keep my hand on them. I need protected by Jesus. Anybody else need that? I know I do. Judges chapter 6, verse 5 through 6 says, for they would come up, now talking about the Midianites, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. Think about that, man. They just came in and with droves, by the droves, and would just eat everything in their path. When they left, there would literally be nothing but dirt and desert behind them. And these people of Israel, man, they would plant all year round. They would cultivate. They would nurture the land. They would grow all of this stuff, and they would raise their livestock up, and just to have these people come in and lay waste to it as they walk through. It says, and Israel was brought very low because of Midian. They were brought to the lowest point because of the enemy oppressing against them. But look what it says. It says, But the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. God's grace again. See Israel disobey God, get out of covenant with God, get out of covenant, just like my story. Get out of covenant, disobey. Call upon God and his grace is sufficient. His grace covers it. Proverbs 24:16 says this, for the righteous fall seven times, but every time they get back up. That's encouraging to me. I don't know about anybody else. I need that verse a lot. Those that are in covenant with Jesus, those who live for Jesus, that they fall down. They stumble, they mess up, but every single time that gets back up, what are they talking about then? They're talking about the getting up, not the falling down. Amen. Now, I'm not giving us reasons to go out and fall. But I'm saying if it happens, if something happens in life, because how many know life happens? Life happens, man, it smacks us right in the mouth, whether we're ready for it or not. Like a grounder at shortstop, and that thing hits a rock and hits up and smacks you in the nose. It's what life will do, catch us off guard, completely off guard. Amen. And we'll fall and we'll trip and we'll stumble. But the love of God is right there to pick us right back up. Amen. Ready to take those very things that the enemy meant for harm and use them for his good, that when we walk on the other side of it, we can say, hey, brother, sister, we can walk through this thing. Jesus is able. It's about us getting up, church. Listen, you've heard me say this several times. Man, God is not too concerned with momentary failure. He's not. I'm sorry, he's not. He is not concerned with momentary failure. The Bible is very clear. Those that practice sin are in danger of hell fire. Practice means something that you do every single day purposefully to get good at it. I practice basketball constantly. Why? To get good at it. I try to practice golf, but I'm terrible. But that's what we try to do. We practice something to become good at. And that's what the Bible says. Those that practice sin, those who try to get good at it, those who try to live in it, those who thrive in sin, they're in danger of hell fire. Not those that trip and fall down and say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm ready to live for you. So it's about the getting up, church, not the falling down. It's about recommitting when we mess up. Let me tell you, the enemy will be at every single turn, every time we fall, and say, hey, man, you might as well just go ahead and keep going. You already messed up once. Just, you don't deserve it. But Jesus says, I do deserve it. Amen. He says that you deserve it. That feels pretty good to me this morning. That it doesn't matter if we slip up. That all we got to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, and he's right there. Amen. Back to Judges. Here they are, the Israelites. Man, they're getting beat down by the Midianites. They keep coming in. For 7 years, they do this. They lay waste to their land, everything that they have and own. But then they cry for the help of the Father. Father, help me. Father, help me. And we'll see what happens here in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. What happens after they cry out, the Lord, the angel of the Lord appears, and God raises up a man named Gideon. Angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Let me give you a little what's going on here. They were so scared of the Midianites that they would hide in caves and caverns. Here he is, he's beating out his wheat in a wine press, which would be very tricky to do. Because when you sift wheat, what you would do is you would smack it against something, right? Against your screen or whatever. And the wind would take the chaff and blow it away, and what was good would fall to the ground. That's how they would get the nutrients out of the wheat. Okay? Well, it would be interesting because here he is in a wine press, a closed capsule, so that no one could see him, so there'd be no wind in there blowing away the chaff. So I'm not so sure how he's doing it, but he must have figured out something. But he's scared to death, and he's sitting in this wine press, beating this stuff out, trying to hide whatever he could from him. Let me tell you something. Gideon at this point is sick and tired of fighting. He's sick and tired of being sick and tired is what he is. He's done. He's tired. And so he's in this low place, in this dark place. And here the angel of the Lord shows up and says, oh, you mighty man of valor. I love this. This is why I love this. Because God sees what we could be, not what we are. That's good stuff. God sees what you can be, not what you are right now. He sees what you're going to be for him. Not what in the midst of the junk you're in now. And he sees what he's going to use from that situation to glorify his name. And to bring good. And this is exactly what happens here, right? Gideon's in this low place, and in that moment, he's feeling so low and so desperate. And the angel of the Lord shows up and says, you mighty man of valor. And he's saying, what are you talking about, and who are you talking to? Because I know you're not talking to me. And angel's like, well, you're the only one in the wine press, dude. Right? And here it is. He tells Gideon, he says, I'm going to use you to lead my people out of bondage. Gideon's like, man, I'm the smallest and the least of the tribes. My father's this, my family's that. I'm terrible. There's nothing about me strong. There's nothing about me worth anything. There's not a redeeming feature in me. And the Lord says, yeah, but I'm going to be with you. How many know it doesn't matter where we come from, what we've got going on, that if Jesus is with us, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Any single thing that he calls you to do, you can do because he'll be with you. Amen. Amen. So here, then Gideon says, well, if that's the truth, give me a sign. Give me a sign. And he says, sit here and wait on me. Well, I'm going to go prepare a sacrifice. So Gideon takes off, and he goes and prepares meat, it says, and unleavened cakes. He brings them back to the angel. And they're sitting there, and he sets them out on this rock. Right? He sets the meat and the unleavened cakes down, and he has this big old bucket of broth. And he pours it all over it to saturate it, to soak it, soaking wet. And the angel of the Lord takes his staff and touches it. And the fire, says the fire from the rock came up and consumed it. Consumed it. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And the Holy Spirit burns up everything that we want to sacrifice to him. Anything that we want to give to him, he'll burn it up. He'll consume it for us. Amen. Amen. But here's Gideon's asking for signs. Just a little side note. See, we don't need any signs no more because the sign's already been given. His name's Jesus Christ. That's how we know the Lord is with us. He gave his son to die for us. We don't need no more signs that God is with us, that God is for us. He is because his son died for us. That's the ultimate sign. The Son of God. Amen. Amen. But it goes on. He says, now what I want you to do, Gideon, is not only did he do this, but then he said, I want you to go up and rip down what your dad has built in my place. Go down and rip down all those things that have caused scars. Go rip them down and build a monument to me. Karen, if you come play, please. So, of course, Gideon gets up and he goes and cuts down the Asherah pole and the altar of Baal. And they build a monument to God in the place. Amen. And then God goes on and he chooses 300 men. It's very interesting. You have to read it. There was 30,000 to start out with, then down to 10,000, clear down to 300 men to fight an army of over 120,000 men. It said 120,000 men lost their lives by the sword. Gideon only had 300. But the Lord was on his side. Amen. When God is on your side, that's all you need. The Lord is for us this morning. We just got to make sure that we're in covenant with him. You just stand to your feet. As Karen plays this song, I'm going to open up the altars. Because I just want to make sure that we're in this place together today and that we make sure that we are in right covenant with God. That there's nothing in our lives that has us out of covenant. Knowingly or unknowingly got us out of covenant. We just want to make sure that we're right before the Father today. Amen. So let's let Karen play. And if you want prayer, I'll be up here. The prayer team's on standby.